Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you've missed the big news of the day, don't know how you've missed it. A couple hours ago, talking about Mike McCarthy out as the Dallas Cowboys head coach after five seasons.
Thank you, Lucy.
And right now, time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
All right, so I am working off some ifs in this conversation. If the reality is that Mike McCarthy said, I appreciate it, but I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Let's work off that, because that's just kind of the way I'm feeling right now about this. If that's the case, does that make Jerry sit back and go, hold on, I need to do something different here. I thought this guy would want, because the idea we've discussed with free agency is, when Jerry wanted free agency, they'll come to the Cowboys because it's the Cowboys. We won sure. Super Bowls. They'll all sign here because it's the Cowboys. A lot. And Jerry, when he sells to free agents, which, I mean, not frequent, but when he sells to people, he's right. Telling them the Cowboys are a bigger deal. And he's selling that idea and that concept. If that's the case, if Mike McCarthy said, I appreciate it, but we are done here and I'm leaving you, does that make the guy say, I need to reassess what I've done? Or is he like, you know what? Move on to the next one as quickly as possible. And I ask this question because when they moved on from Jason Garrett, what was the first thing that Jerry said? I mean, before then, if Jason Garrett was to go somewhere else, he'll find a head coaching job within minutes. That was the line. He'll find a head coaching job so fast. And then what happened? He became an offensive coordinator. And quite honestly, that doesn't look like a misshine
right.
to Jerry. That's like, well, he wasn't the Cowboys coach. He wasn't good enough to be the Cowboys coach, but he can be an offensive coordinator. But somebody that might want to go somewhere else and be a head coach somewhere, that could definitely be one of those where Jerry may sit back and go, I can't believe somebody actually said no to this. Why would they say no to this? And for the reality of Mike McCarthy going to New Orleans being a Saint. Alec just laid out, Alec, do you have all the notes that you threw my way just a minute ago? There are a ton of notes on the connection with the New Orleans Saints, and they are interested. They have not requested yet, though the Bears have.
Yeah, so I was talking with some people out there in New Orleans and found out a few things that are kind of interesting. Number one being, we know the connection with New Orleans already. He was the offensive coordinator out there for four or five seasons. Mickey Loomis, the GM out there, is familiar with him. But before Mickey Loomis, the GM was Randy Mulligan, who is still with the team as an advisor to Mickey Loomis. So another connection that helped bring McCarthy in. On top of that, the interesting part, we know that Mike McCarthy's agent is Don Yee. He also represents Sean Payton, who worked with the Saints for a very long time. And we've heard the rumblings just because of those connections already. But there's a lot of people in New Orleans that are starting to say this feels like a very real possibility.
So, Kevin, when the girl leaves you for somebody worse, you feel all right. You're like, hey, man, look at this.
Interesting.
I'm doing good. Jason Garrett leaves and becomes a New York offensive coordinator. Hey, I'm all right. Nobody else wanted that guy. girl leaves you, and now she's got somebody just as, you know, got all three of the F's, if you will. Fine, financially stable, and whatever the other one, funny. And now you're like, hold on, what did I do wrong? Hold on, was it me? And I don't know if Jerry Jones has that in him to say, was it me? Or if it would just be, no, it was never me. It's definitely whoever it is out there. All right, we got to go through this coaching search again. And I don't want to take too long to do this, so give me a couple names that I'd like to work with. I do think that the working relationship with somebody is something that Jerry wants to be very comfortable, very easy. He wants to work with them and understand that he has a lot of say and control in that conversation. So that's why when it comes to a Ben Johnson, Kevin, he seems a little edgy.
Okay.
When I watch him coaching, did you see how pissed off he was that they couldn't get a touchdown to their tackle whenever they were here going up against the Cowboys? He was ticked off about that. He seems to have a bit of an edge about him that I'm like, I don't know if that's exactly going to be comfortable for Jerry Jones. And I wonder, I hope. See, that's where I'm a little hopeful here, Mike.
I'm not.
I hope that Jerry Jones is now uncomfortable. I hope that made him uncomfortable and that changed him. But you might be right, because somebody would ask, hey, what about Jimmy Johnson? At 81 years old, I just don't know if he wants to jump back into that.
No, Jimmy had his time. It was very short in the NFL, but it was great. Jimmy ain't a coach anymore. Jerry ain't changing. Nothing's changed Jerry. The only thing that's changed Jerry over 30 years, the only thing that's changed him is he needed a new stadium in Dallas-Fort Worth.
So he went and got a legitimate, real football coach.
It's the only time in his life he's actually tried after, you know, thinking he could do it on his own in whatever. I'm sorry, you know the exact year. Bill Parcells is 03.
Was he 03?
Yeah, it's just like that was it. He needed a stadium. Besides that, he just wants to be comfortable. And then over revisionist history, he'll sell you that Wade Phillips coached 73 different teams to 73 different Super Bowls as a defensive coordinator, Jerry.
Should he be on the list, Mike?
Why not? And in fact, he's available. He said the biggest mistake of his life in the last two decades was the Wade Phillips firing. Hire him right now. He's won all the Super Bowls ever since as the head coach, even though he was never a head coach again. I just don't think Jerry, this is why I hate hating the Cowboys, is Jerry's ruined my favorite team, one of my favorite teams, my hometown team, because I know he's not trying to win. And when I know that, when I can see all the facts, I'm not buying the words. This is like, I promise I won't cheat on you again. You've cheated on me 5 or 6 times with 5 or 6 different people.
This time it's different.
Yeah. Like it's over, Jerry. Like we get who you are now. He ain't changing.
Yeah, it does seem like over all of this time, there have been games that the Joneses or the Cowboys organization seems to play. And they're fine playing these games. And there are certain guys, Parcells was tired of it at one point. And it seems like Mike McCarthy was like, I don't want to play this back and forth. If you want me, you want me. If you don't, then I can move on fast. But you're telling me all the work that I've done here in these 5 years wasn't enough to tell you that I should be back immediately. Then I will see you later. Now turn our attention to the G-Bag Nation's Eric Chiafalo, who has hopped in studio with us. Are you happy that Mike McCarthy is no longer a Dallas Cowboys head coach?
This is exactly, I think, what we wanted. Okay. The process by way it went down is a little, you know, just on brand for them, but on brand for nobody else in the sport with the way they go about things. But yes, this is exactly what we wanted, right? It's not to say that they're going to do the right thing
moving forward, but
we saw what we saw with McCarthy. We knew what we had. We didn't have to do the almost decade worth of Jason Garrett thing, did we? Mm-hmm. A half decade is enough. And unfortunately, it's the same deal when it comes to the quarterback, but they still want to just keep seeing and trying, and maybe it can get better.
The reality on the quarterback, Kevin, I think, is they got out leveraged. They were defeated in the negotiation process from when they signed him to his original first contract after his rookie contract. That they got out leveraged from there on.
They put themselves in
a bad situation of, we're just going to have to keep stacking money on top of this thing. And that's the reality with the quarterback. The coach didn't allow them to. It sounds like he was like, I'm not going to allow you to out leverage me. You're going to feel like you do, but I'm not going to go through this right now. I'm here. I'm out. That's the process, it sounds like.
Yeah, you didn't cut short your vacation just to show up for this like we tried to get Bobby Bell to. No, did you?
I heard him as soon as I get in my car, everything's happening. I'm on the way here and I hear Bobby. He can't stay away from all this. And you know, he's throwing like confetti rain down in his apartment when the news broke.
Because he's been calling for this.
He's been begging for this.
It's like year two.
Do you think there was something already prepared confetti-wise at his home?
I do. I think Bobby's thorough enough. He's petty enough. And okay. He's about the bit enough to really do just about anything.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to the next step here, when you're starting to look forward to something, this is the question I'm kind of curious. What does the next head coach have to do, or the guy who you're interviewing have to do or have to be for you to be satisfied when they hire him?
I have to know that his offense is 100% advanced and with the times and is... Like obviously Ben Johnson, like that type of thing is he would be the one seed. That's obviously not likely at all. But something like that is what I would prefer over anything. Give me a guy who can advance.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's this offense and get it with the times because I don't believe that we've had that at all. So I would love to have that.
Can he do that with this quarterback? I mean, like that you've... Based on what you've seen with Jared Goff, you believe he can do it with any quarterback?
Oh, to Ben Johnson specifically?
Yeah, specifically?
Yes, yes. I think Ben Johnson can do it. Like, I think one thing about Ben Johnson is he's doing it with a statue quarterback in Goff right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're dealing with Dak now moving forward based on the injuries. I don't think you're talking about a very mobile quarterback. Right, so you need to be able to build an offense around a guy who can just hang in the pocket. And so that's what he's obviously done with Jared Goff. I think he could do that, and he's probably got so much more he could do with a guy who could move, but I think he's a guy that does uses the guys that he has and gets the best out of them. So he would be the guy for sure that I would want. That's not going to be the case.
Nope.
So we'll see. I don't know. There's some other good offensive net. Like, Kellen Moore is not that. We couldn't wait to get Kellen Moore out of here. Why do you want to dip back into those waters? I mean, for them, it'd be comfort, whatever. I don't know. And ultimately, just like seeing it through to be like, yeah, we were the most right about Kellen Moore. We knew since day one. But what was he doing yesterday to really help out his offense?
Liam
Cohen definitely stands out. Now, that offense crapped the bed at the end of that game with some serious issues. So, like, he's not coming out of the gates, like, super hot right now with the way things ended. But, yes, that is a guy that would be on the list of dudes I would want to get to know. And I just saw for at least a few weeks in New Orleans, you get a good young offensive coordinator in there who has the health of the offense. And for a couple of weeks, Derek Carr can look like a super beast. So I think they can – if you have a stud, I think you can get the most out of Dak. And since you've just committed yourself to Dak, you've married him again, now all of a sudden you're going to have to get a guy who can really help him out.
Yeah, the other part – of just not just Dak, but how much of this roster needs to change for whatever head coach comes in, and how quickly can he turn that roster around?
My question's how.
Yeah.
This is his team. Who's ever taking this job? This is your team. Don't tell me about the New Orleans Saints players you want to bring over here. Don't tell me about the Lions you like. We don't have the money to do it.
And my argument against that would be, and I realize that's not going to change anything, is you do have the money to do that if you want. You just have to go – into an uncomfortable position with the salary cap. And that's not something the Cowboys want to do. They don't want to burn their cap in future years to go all in, like literally all in for this season. But you can absolutely create the money if you want to. But to Mike's point, they don't want to. And they have told us that. Steven has told us that. Jerry has told us that. That's not the way they think the cap should operate.
And so your co-host, Broad, has been saying for a long time this year, I felt, that maybe McCarthy was coaching and developing these players for other people, for somebody else to be the head coach. And that's what I think the Joneses are going to expect. Look, you know, we have the team here for you. You just have to develop them. If they're not ready, then you have to get them ready. And if that's not the case, then you're not the right candidate for this job.
Yeah, Steven already set the standard for what it's going to be for this upcoming offseason. Like, this is a Titan up the belts kind of deal. Yeah. So, yeah, that's not very inviting if you're a coach coming in and seeing what talent you have to work with. So I don't know who they're going to be able to get here.
I'll say this, Corey, to your point of Jerry could change because Mike left him as he was offering him maybe not the best contract. Maybe that would change Jerry a little bit if he wants to interview Ben Johnson. He says, I don't want to interview here. He wants to interview some other people, and some other people come in and they don't take the job. They're like, we would love to offer you this job. Here's your contract. Here's all this stuff. And they say, I'm not taking that. Or they say, it has to be this way or I don't want this job. And Jerry's like, well, then you don't get this job. And then Jerry's going, crap,
I got to get Campo again.
I'm down to, yeah, or maybe John Gruden has to take it because of where John Gruden's at in life and everything. But maybe, and I don't even know if that would change him, because then he has John Gruden sitting in, you know, he has Zimmer would take the job. He knows what this thing's about. So he would still have other people. But maybe if he does want to go down the route of, I want to get maybe a new guy who could be the best. He could be the new Minnesota coach. He could be what Sean McVay was 7-8 years ago. Like, and they all say, I don't even want to take the interview. I'll take the interview. And then after the interview, you're like, crap, there's no way I can convince him to come here.
Yeah, maybe so. That's C-Block, man.
Thank you very much for jumping on with us, Eric. Coming up next, I do believe we're going to have Jane Slater.
Yeah, Jane said she'd hop on with us next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I guess we could preview Vikings-Rams, but what is much more likely is we will bring on Jane Slater to talk about all the happenings of the day with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Jane, welcome to the show. We know Mike won't be back. What else can you tell us besides that?
I'm right here.
Mike McCarthy won't be back.
Well, Bassick, I'm glad that you're still here. You know, there's been years with Jerry and you. I didn't know if you'd make it back, so we're glad to see that you've lived another day.
Thank you.
Has anything... further. Go ahead, Jane.
Yeah, I would just say I was beginning to get a sense that this wasn't going to move forward with Mike McCarthy, and I don't have this confirmed yet, but my sense, based on some of the conversations I've had, is it doesn't sound like this was Jerry deciding that he no longer wanted Mike here. This might have been Mike saying, I'm going to move on. And a lot of that, according to staffers that I've spoken with, had to do with this contract sticking point. You know, he was already frustrated, and, I mean, he's done this on the record, off the record, Mike, with us reporters and even up at the podium with fans, frustrated about how he and his staff went into this year with expiring contracts. I think they felt like that limited them, that it was tough on their families. You know, as I've gotten a little bit longer in the tooth, even with this job, you get to know the families, and it is hard. But I think everybody, it's, you know, as Jerry said, small is violent in the room. Everyone knows that that's part of the business. But I think what a lot of people don't have the appetite for is, all right, the season came to an end. They were already on expiring contracts. Should this decision, and if you were going to bring him back, at least some parameters already be in place? And that didn't seem to be the case. I mean, the way it was characterized to me, these conversations with Mike in the last week weren't about hard numbers or length. It was really just about the end of the season, how things could have gone. And I think that that started to rub him a type of way. And so I think when he ultimately came down here and then, you know, he was denied permission to interview for the Bears job, I think there was some frustration. Now, I will also say, when I first heard about the Bears job, I thought, this is just a ploy to get his you know, to sort of like put chum in the water, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I was told by both sides on this that the interest in Mike was real in Chicago. And I think Chicago is interesting, if I'm Mike, because of Caleb Williams, because of Roma Dunzie. I was just up there covering them in Seattle. This is an opportunity for Mike, if this was a job for him, to really put his stamp on the offense. I had spoken to somebody last week about just this offense and, you know, how much, you know, Mike's involved, how much has changed. And I was shocked to learn that it apparently wasn't that different from what Jason Garrett had here. I mean, there was obviously some elements that were different. And when I asked, well, how long would it take to like put this coaching staff, you know, mark on it? I was told, you know, tell me what we're working with and how long. So I thought that was really, really interesting. So yeah. And then, you know, I think that the Saints thing is, you know, Mike McCarthy, that was, I remember talking to the Saints because I also cover them a couple years back about Mike. And when I say he is beloved in that building, the Saints are not dissimilar from the Cowboys in the way they sort of, you know, they keep it in the family. There hasn't been a lot of change at the top. A lot of their regime over there is very similar. Obviously, he's got a relationship with Jeff Ireland and Mickey Loomis and knows Mrs. B well. So I definitely think that's in play, although I have not gotten that confirmed from Mickey Loomis. That they have an interview set up, but I think it would make a lot of sense.
Jane, do you feel like this was a kind of a shock to the Joneses, to their side of it, and that they're kind of like, okay, now we got to scramble and put things together, or was it more, we are preparing for this?
Well, I don't want to get a call from Todd or Jerry and say that I'm wrong,
gotcha.
But my initial sense feels like maybe they did not expect, and again, I don't know that for a fact.
Gotcha.
But I think that, you know, Jerry and Stephen will always say deadlines make deals. I'm sure that maybe there was a thought that, you know, given that Mike wants to be here, and again, I know the fans don't want to hear this, but multiple players wanted Mike back. I mean, a lot of them are big fans of him. Maybe Jerry thought that he could use that wiggle room to get a contract that was advantageous to him. But it sounds like, once they weren't able to get really the length of it, because as was described to me, a coach told me that Mike had reached out to a bunch of the guys this morning and basically said something along the lines of, let's see what he said.
She's looking through her notes, Kevin.
Looking through my notes.
She's a notepad.
Looking through.
She writes in shorthand.
I get that.
Not agreeing on a contract link puts everybody out of a job.
Oh.
Okay, so yeah.
That's what he was saying to his staff, is what you just said?
Players, right?
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So let's say that Mike McCarthy was kind of standing up for himself, standing up for his staff. I'm saying that, not you. Let's say that was the case. There are fewer fans at training camp this year for the Cowboys. There seems to be some optimism today in our fan text. This is going to spark some semblance of revolution that's going to make the Cowboys rethink the way they do business. Do you think there's any chance of that? Or are we going to end up with Zimmer, or we're going to get Kellen Moore as the head coach and business as usual?
I mean, I don't know. I would hope that this time around they would cast a larger net. I don't know if anybody's been able to disprove this, but I just remember the coaching staff as it related to Jason Garrett. You know, Mike McCarthy did that sit down with my colleague Tom Pelissero at NFL Network, and all of a sudden he was in the mix. Ron Rivera and Marvin Lewis, I don't remember there being any other coaches that they pursued. And then remember Jerry Jones Jr., and Jerry told us at that opening presser that they had gone out to dinner, and Jerry Jones Jr. leaned over to, you know, his father and said, I think we found our guy. And that's how it went down. I don't know if they were being tongue in cheek. That's how they described it on the podium that day. But I would hope that they would cast a larger net. Now, I know Sark's name's been thrown out there and people have talked about Lane Kiffin. I'm working all these angles. Just keep in mind, particularly with a lot of these college coaches, they're going to be very careful about telling you interest or where they're going, because that impacts recruiting. And so I'm not saying it's true and I'm not saying it's not true, but we may not hear as much about the college coaches just because of the recruiting stuff. I mean, that could even apply to Dion. Mm. So yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be, I think Jerry's picking up the phone today. I think they're going to be exploring the interest of a lot of these coaches. I do know that there are coaches that say, you know, it's a no for me on an NFL job, but, you know, as dysfunctional as it might look like to the outside world, the Dallas Cowboys, it is still one of the most coveted jobs. And I've gone to Combine, and I've had guys like Mike Vrabel and Cliff Kingsbury say to me, Jane, will you please introduce me to Jerry Jones? I mean, I joke with both of them. They were like fanboys this one day. And so there are people that will want to come to Dallas. I mean, this is why you and I work here, guys. Like, it is. But I've always said it's a little bit like the golden handcuffs, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
There are things that come with it. And because I get to go out and cover 31 other teams, I do know that it's a very unique situation. And, you know, also using the words of Jerry Jones, you do have to have an appetite for ambiguity. And I think with a guy like Mike, you know, he's a Pennsylvania guy, he's a proud guy. There's a lot of jobs that are open right now. I think maybe that appetite waned at some point.
Is there any, do you get the sense from across the rest of the league, not the fan base, because that's what the fan base has told us a lot of the day today, that the Cowboys are perceived as cheap when it comes to coaches and coaching contracts, not just with McCarthy, but like we don't want to pay a head coach after he's not here anymore. Is that perception around the NFL?
It's real. I've had two coaches tell me that Jerry has sort of led the league in his thoughts on how coaches should be paid. I mean, Jerry even told us as much post-game when he talked about this idea of, you know, this incentive-based plan for coaches. Now, with that being said, I did speak to a coach about that, and they said it's not that crazy of a concept. I mean, if you think about it, players have that, right? But, and as Jerry put it, he thinks the fans would want that. I don't disagree. I think there are some fans that would see you get a head coach in here and, you know, why pay this guy all this money, you know, make him work for it, dangle the carrot, so to speak. I just think you have a hard time convincing a Super Bowl winning head coach that he has to work for those escalators. You might have more success with an OC that wants to become a head coach and do it for the Dallas Cowboys.
Boy, that'd be great for the fans if, like, the Dallas Cowboys had to now give the season ticket holders back 30% of what they paid for this year if we're doing the incentive-based thing for everybody. Because I'm sure the Jones love it on their side. They wouldn't love it if they had to pay the fans back money. So it's pretty cool,
you know,
for the Joneses.
I'll be honest, though, guys. When I was thinking about this morning, I mean, we go through our own contract disputes.
Yep.
You know, all of us. And I've had an agent, and you know, a couple years back, I know mine went down to the wire, and it wasn't because of, you know, not wanting me back. It was more just, you know, where the contracts were and priority and stuff. But you start to feel a type of way when it comes down to the 11th hour. I mean, it's human psychology. Everyone wants to be courted in a way. And even if Mike had come back, I just wonder if some of those feelings might have lingered. And, you know, maybe this is good for all parties, you know, that both get this fresh start. I think what's challenging, though, is, you know, as Adam Schefter and Ian have brought up, a lot of these coaches that you would have courted, the Ben Johnsons of the world, you know, if you wanted to go get Spags in Kansas City, if you wanted to go defense, they're shutting down those interviews so that they can get through wild card, and then they can, you know, if they keep advancing the Super Bowl. So now you're sort of waiting, and it sort of becomes like musical chairs. And if you're not careful, you're left without a coach. Now, I'm not saying that Jerry can't go and find a coach. Like, he will find a coach. But if you had just made this decision about Mike last week, you could have already had interviews with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're having to sit here and wait a little bit. Vrabel would have been incredible. But I think probably New England made a lot more sense for Vrabel.
Two questions for you here, Jane. Is Dak going to be any part of the coach search? Because I would think that he would beg and plead for Kellen Moore. And then two is, I feel like Micah Parsons isn't afraid to speak his opinion. Is Micah going to be as PC on this as we know Dak would be if he was asked questions on this?
Yeah, I think Micah is going to volunteer his opinion on this, whether we ask him or not, which I appreciate, right? Mm-hmm. Dak will probably be more diplomatic. I know that, I mean, we had a far-ranging conversation with Jerry, and to his credit, he sat there and you know, answered all of our questions at the end of the season. What was it? It was like 48 minutes and then maybe a little bit longer, even after we turned off, you know, our recorders and kept walking. But he was asked how much of a say that Dak will have in it. And I think he said something along the lines of, like, obviously he'll talk to Dak, but I don't think Dak is going to, like, say, here's my list if I had my druthers of who I'm, you know, who's going to be in here. I would imagine someone like Jerry always has a plan B in the back of his mind. I just don't know if he was necessarily expecting where this road was going to take him down today.
Well, we appreciate the time very much.
I could be wrong. Jerry might call in here and tell you guys that I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
Hey.
Oh, that old Jane Slater.
You know, if that happens, he's going to be like, that's why I got rid of her, just like I threatened with Sean and RJ. So it could happen.
Oh, man.
Don't know.
It could happen. You know, this year I've been making friends with, you know, other teams. I might have to find a new home. Who knows? Don't do it, Jerry. I like Dallas.
Thank you very much, Jane.
That's just based on, you know, I've been – looking under every rock. I've even called to see if Pete Carroll's gotten a call. I just still think it's a little premature right now, but I think probably starting tomorrow we'll start hearing some names trickling out here.
Love you, Jane.
Love you guys.
There you go, Jane Slater right here on 105.3 The Fan. Early for sure, but the betting odds continue to churn and change.
Is Deion out now?
No, Deion is second
okay. Behind
Kellen Moore, followed by Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Brady, Lincoln Riley, and Ben Johnson. Interesting side note to this. Ben Johnson is the leading candidate to get the Bears head coaching job, betting-wise, followed by Mike McCarthy. And then there's a big gap until you get to somebody else, anybody else. So when Jane was saying, hey, that could make sense in Chicago, the betting odds say it does make sense.
Is Gruden on the board to bet on the Cowboys?
Ooh.
I don't know, but I do know.
22-1.
Can you imagine, though?
$10 on it?
That's not a bad bet.
Can you imagine right now, though, you were coaching a game yesterday, Saturday, whatever, and now you're getting questions from every reporter in the country.
Sure.
Hey, have you been contacted yet? Are you interested in this job? Like, now it's already starting to roll, and you're getting ready for the next team. You're getting ready to go coach against the next team, and you're starting to get these questions that you have to. Kellen Moore, Ben Johnson, those guys are getting questions while they're trying to prepare for this next phase, because that's what the Cowboys pull. That is what they pull, man.
Look, there's one thing when Jane said it is, to some, still one of the most coveted, or if not the most coveted position in the NFL. I understand why that is. I also understand all the reasons that it's not. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Tolbert in motion to the right. Rush back. Flushed. Fumbles. Now the Cowboys are going to recover. Maybe Steele is playing patty cake with it. And now the Eagles got on.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Don't forget about the Texas Rangers Caravan here tonight, 4131 North Central Expressway in Dallas. You don't got to sign up. You just got to show up. Autographs, Whataburger. Plus, if you want to talk Cowboys, I guarantee you Jared Sandler will have some thoughts about that as well. And normally, this would be a day where it'd be like, hey, Khalil Mack says he might retire. Tyson Fury did retire. Pittsburgh beat SMU with the largest comeback in the history of NCAA women's basketball. Texas lost on Friday night. A lot of stuff all falling by the wayside because Mike McCarthy is out as Dallas Cowboys head coach right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Wonderful, Heggy. Had a great weekend. How about you guys?
It's been very busy today, but that's what makes the job fun and agitating and everything in between.
I love breaking news.
Absolutely.
It's totally different.
It's just sometimes you hear behind the scenes stuff about the breaking news that you're like, I'm just saying for me, I wish that our franchise, the Dallas Cowboys, that is, took this more seriously.
Yeah, 100%. You know, this should be an exciting time where we can talk about them going after, you know, some of the top candidates out there. But, you know, I feel like we'll get a candidate that'll kind of make us hope for the best, but acknowledge that it's not a great situation.
And that's where I feel like I'm not saying that these have to be your two guys. Your people that you want to be the head coach could be whoever. I would love it if the Cowboys sat back and said, we'll pay any price to get Ben Johnson, or let's go get Marcus Freeman. I know he's a college coach, blah, blah, blah. Let's go do it. We'll start our own bidding war and we'll get whoever the hell we want. Instead of, my sense, just speaking for me, nobody else, who will come in for $3.5 million on an option contract that has probably no other place to go, and that's why they'll accept
Gruden.
Everything that we put on them. That's the way I feel about the Cowboys. Not that they're going to go get a coach. They're going to say, who's the best of the people who will settle for what we offer?
Maybe that's why they always have to go to the well of who do we know? Who do we have a relationship with? Because they've built that. So somebody that comes in is not going to be surprised when they sit down and interview with Jerry and Steven and the rest of the hierarchy there. I think somebody that's unknown and is coming in like, man, I'm getting to interview for the Dallas Cowboys, and they sit down and they actually have that interview, are in for a rude awakening, and they probably leave thinking, oh my God, I don't think I want to be anywhere near this bleep show right now.
Okay, if that is option one, I think that is a very possible option. My other concern is Corey brought something up earlier in the show. What I'm afraid of is the coach sits down, is like, we got to get rid of the BS and the nonsense, and all the Jones family is like, couldn't agree more, and you're the guy to do it. And then a little bit into training camp or the season or whatever, something that the new coach classifies as BS and nonsense and goes to the owner, and the owner's like, no, sorry, we're doing that.
Yeah, that,
you're wrong about that.
Because that's a feeling that I wonder, and I would like to know what McCarthy was most offended by throughout the process of working with the Cowboys. Whether it was this contract situation and that was the thing that just, okay, that broke it all for me, or if there was something throughout the entire process where he was like, I can't believe that this soured me so quickly on working for this organization. I just don't know exactly where that stands yet, but I have a feeling over the next few days we'll be, those stories will find their way out. They'll get
I imagine a tipping point might have come around week 5 or 6 for me when Rico Dowdle was showing the kind of potential that, you know, he demonstrated in a big way in the second half of the season. And you're getting Ezekiel Elliott, a guy who's, you know, not making it to all the practices and team meetings, kind of forced upon you. You know, that would just be too much, you know, because that's your chance to win games, you know. Being able to run the ball for 4.5 of the attempt and give you third and manageable, you know, after the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, it should have been abundantly clear to everybody that Zeke didn't have it. Zeke couldn't put our offense in these kind of situations, and we're being essentially forced to play him. I can't imagine anything would be more maddening as a coach than not being able to determine your game day roster, and knowing the guy that is being forced upon you is making it significantly more difficult to win.
Broadus, I know you've been very busy, and that's why you got to listen to the G-Bag National show. We'll start right after us in about 9 minutes. What can, if anything, can you tell us that you've learned that anything?
Yeah, we got a show from 2 to 7 today. We're going to knock that out.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I think that this, when all the questions you've been asked, this is more about the front office than it is anything. You know, when it comes to why Mike McCarthy is no longer here.
Yeah.
And we've had the discussions about, you know, Mike deciding that he wanted to move on. I think that, to me, when you look at it from the big picture of it all, it's Jerry Jones. It's, you know, his inability as a leader here to make Mike McCarthy feel like that, you know, that they were going to be going in the right direction here. And so, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now with that. I do believe that, you know, things are going to come out more as we go through the days, but I think that you could absolutely start with the front office and then their inability to make Mike feel like that things were going to be different. And it wasn't always, you know, the thought is, and Dawson's been pretty, you know, and others and Eric have talked about this. It's not about football all the time. And I think that's something that really, really, really bothered Mike McCarthy along the way, that, you know, when it turned into other things and more important things other than the football, then that's where he decided that he no longer needed to be a part of this. And that's why I think that he's moved on.
And that's gotta be frustrating too. Sorry, Gavin, to step on this, but it's gotta be frustrating too whenever you're talking to the guy and you're like, which hat is he wearing right now? Is he the football guy that I need to talk to, or is he the marketing guy? Which version am I actually having this conversation with?
I don't think there is a football guy hat. Mm. I don't think the winning and all that is existent. I don't know if that's the right way to put it in English terms, but I think it exists. Yeah. Thank you. I think it's all about the money, baby. It's all about the Benjamins and what we're doing today, which is going to spend an entire five-hour show not talking about Texas or the Mavs or the Stars, talking about the Cowboys. That's what Jerry wants. And I wanted to fight against that as a fan for basically my entire life. Now being in here and seeing how the sausage is made.
You got kicked in the D.
You don't want to eat there anymore. Yeah.
Zero faith this organization will be able to pull its own head out of its own ass.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think Mike was still willing to put up with all of that until...
For a certain price.
Yeah, for a certain commitment. You know, the money was okay. The, putting up with Jerry was okay. But once it's like, hey, you know, maybe we want to give you a short-term contract and you're basically going to relive 2024 next year and maybe the year after that, I think Mike was like, man, if you can't even make a commitment to me after everything that I'm putting up with, I'm giving you the 12-win seasons and you're
I'm not sure it even got to that, Dawson.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it even got to the part of talking about what we're going to do. I think that the front office was in...
Well, that was the NFL.com report. You know, yeah. That's all I have to go on.
I understand.
I'm trying to be humble after falling on my face with my assessment of the situation last week and going with what the insiders are saying.
No, the insiders will lead you along. I just, like I said, I don't even think they really talked about it. I think there was questions within the front office if they wanted to do it, if they didn't want to do it. And I think that starts at the top with Jerry Jones. I think that's the number one reason why Mike McCarthy's no longer here, because his indecision and what Mike determined that, you know, was, you know, he felt like that, hey, we're not going to go anywhere together here doing this. So that's why he made the decision to move on.
Sounds like a packed show. What do y'all got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Heggie, thanks for asking. I think we're going to spend 5 hours talking Mavs and Texas.
I like it.
Sure.
Yes! I like it.
Pass the ball, Spencer.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Go get Cowboys, Kevin.
I can't.
Okay, well, as long as you guys are having fun.